بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. MashaAllah, it's a wonderful spring day, and the stores behind my house are closed. So my daughter comes to me and says, you know, there's barely any cars in the parking lot today. So I had to explain to her why that was so. I don't think she really understood, but I just told her it was a special day and all the stores were closed. In any case, on a day as nice as today, mashallah, and on a day when the stores are empty, and instead of being bustling centers of activity, they're, you know, big, empty, ghostly buildings, it's a good opportunity to a good time to reflect on our surroundings and to reflect on our universe. And also, because today, April 22nd, happens to be International Earth Day. For the most part of our lives, we tend to live inside our own bubbles. So we sleep in our homes, just covered. I use the term bubble very loosely, but in covered surroundings. So we're in a building. When we travel, most of the time we'll take the car, we'll take the bus, and we'll go, most of us, to another building. And then we spend our day in that other building, and then we come out and we get back into our car or bus, back home, we go shopping, go to the hospital for our needs. We're always inside some place. And more often than not, we don't really get a chance to experience, to connect with nature and with the outdoors. But no matter how detached we may be from the earth, and no matter how much we try to, you know, live in our little bubbles of superficiality, we have a permanent connection with earth. We have a permanent connection with the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم منها خلقناكم وفيها نعيدكم ومنها نخرجكم تارة أخرى. That from the earth did we create you, and into it shall we return you. So we created you from the earth, and you're going to go right back into it, and from it shall we bring you out once again. So from the very beginning, we had a link with the earth. We are here now. We are going to have it again once we go back in, and then once we are taken out again on the day of resurrection. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights the importance of nature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights the importance of the universe. First of all, in Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about ecology. And he says, it is he who sends down rain from the sky. From it you drink, and out of it grows the vegetation on which you feed your cattle. With it he produces for you corn, olives, date palms, grapes, and every kind of fruit. Verily in this is a sign for those who give thought. So for all the children who are here, right, olives, corn, all of these things, they're not made in factories. Okay? Because nowadays we've grown so accustomed to going to the store and buying our food. I think sometimes we actually forget the fact that all of this stuff actually grows out of the ground. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who grows it, and he wants us to think about it. Because he says, this is a sign for those who give thought. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about astronomy. And he says, he has made subject to you the night and the day. The sun and the moon and the stars are in subjection by his command. Verily in this are signs. For whom now? For people who are wise. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on, as if that wasn't enough, to tell us that he is the creator. Then he talks about botany and he talks about zoology. And he says, whatsoever he has created for you on the earth of varying colors, meaning of varying colors and qualities from vegetation and fruits and animals and so on. Verily, and this is a sign for people who remember. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِقَوْمِ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. Then he goes on and talks about oceanology. And it is he who subjected the sea to you. So the oceans, right? The majority of the planet is water. So it is he who subjected the sea to you, that you eat thereof fresh tender meat, the fish, and that you bring forth out of it ornaments to wear, pearls, and you see the ships plowing through it, that you may seek of his bounty, and that you may be grateful. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also talks about the mountains. And he has set upon the earth mountains standing firm, lest it should shake with you. So balancing out the earth. And rivers and roads that you may guide yourselves. You know, before GPS came around and Google Maps, that's what people use as signs, right? Cross that river, take a right at that mountain, that type of thing. So, and marks and signposts, and by the stars, people guide themselves. So all of these, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to as His ayat, as His signs, His proofs, His evidence. Of what? Ayat, signs, proof, evidence of His existence, and the fact that He is the only Creator. But it is also a sign of their importance. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting something, is highlighting things, and telling us that we should think about them and we should ponder over them, and He's saying that these are signs of my existence and of my power, then that means that all of these things have some sort of importance. They carry some value. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to ponder, to explore, to enjoy all of these. Why? At the end of the day, so that it reinforces our faith. So that it reinforces our faith. If you come here at night, right, we're fortunate in the sense that we are far away from the larger cities and we don't have as much light pollution. So if you're here at nighttime and you look up into the sky, right, you see the stars. You see all the stars. Or you come at Fajr time and you're going back home and the sun is about to rise and you see the beautiful sky. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to look at that. Allah wants you to look at that and to say subhanallah. And to think that that star, right, those stars, we have names and all that, and then constellations and all that stuff, but those stars were created by someone. Right? They may be hundreds of millions of light years away. But the fact that there is light there so far away means that there is a being that has created that and that has put it there. It didn't just come there by itself. Right. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to look at these things and He wants us to ponder over it and to express appreciation for all of His bounties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us entire chapters on the beauty, the blessings, and the miracles that we find in nature. And so we have Surah An-Nahl, right? We have the bee, An-Naml, the ant, Ash-Shams, the sun, Al-Qamar, the moon, Ar-Ra'd, lightning, and so on and so forth. There are others as well. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ بَدَأَ الْخَلْقُ ثُمَّ اللَّهُ يُنْشِئُ النَّشْأَةَ الْآخِرَةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Allah says, say, travel in the land. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to travel. He says, travel in the land and see how Allah originated the creation. And then Allah will bring forth the creation of the hereafter. Verily Allah is able to do all things. So if you have time this long weekend, if you have some free time, or even if you're traveling, take this time, take the opportunity to explore nature. Take the opportunity to go by the water. Or, you know, the countryside is very close by. Take a long ride in the countryside. There's some nice provincial parks around here. Go explore them and see the beauty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. Or even if you're just driving by, if you're going to Montreal or Toronto or Ottawa, if you're traveling and you stop here, while you're driving, look around. Look around and look at the beauty of nature. Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created and ponder over these things And if you do that, you're actually engaged in something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do, and you will be rewarded for that, inshaAllah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He has created all of these for us, for our benefit, and He has given us the ability to derive benefit from them as well. And He has given us moral superiority as well as control over many areas of nature. So we see that we are able to harness power from wind. So if you look towards Wolf Island, or if you go to Wolf Island, you see those wind turbines, right? For generating power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the knowledge to extract power from natural gas. And we have a Ontario Hydro generation plant nearby. Extracting oil from sand, right? Oil sands, and the controversy regarding that. The ability to raise and grow plants and animals, and to cut them when needed. Now imagine how much of a problem we would have if animals had exactly the same rights as human beings, right? And if you were to go to an animal, and the animal will start talking to you, and start telling you, no, no, you can't kill me. Right? I'm gonna take revenge on you. And we would have a problem. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us superiority, and He has given us the authority to use plants, to use nature, to use animal for our benefit, to use animals for our benefit. Now what happens though, because of our human nature, we start getting arrogant. We start looking at all these abilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, this power that Allah has given us, and we start getting arrogant. And we start getting greedy. Greed and arrogance is something, are two things that are very, very difficult for us to get away from. But they are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely hates. So because of our greed and because of our arrogance, we start thinking, well, you know what? It doesn't matter. I can use as much water as I want. Right? Gas, the only time I'm going to worry about gas is when it's at the price it is at now. Right? If it's 99 cents a liter, who cares, right? Fill it up, drive around, have huge cars, doesn't really matter, right? So we start thinking that this is all for us, and we start getting greedy, and we start abusing things. And that's where the problem starts. We end up being like a master, right? So a master who has servants, who has many, many servants, and has a lot of money, and starts thinking that, I can treat my servants any way I want. I don't need to give them their due rights. I can afford everything. Nothing matters to me anymore. That's how we start acting with nature. But what we need to realize is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us custodians on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us khalifatul ard. He has made us a khalifa, custodian of the earth. In fact, most of us know the story of the creation of Adam alayhi salam, the first human being. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were told of the creation of the human being, right? What did they ask? What did the angels were told of it, what did they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They said, قَالُوا وَتَجَعْلُ فِيهَا مَن يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءُ. That, oh Allah, will you be placing therein those who will... Now, I'm not going to translate the word yufsidu right now. Will you place therein those who will yufsidu therein and shed blood? Right, so this is a concern that the angels had when the human being was created. That this human being is going to cause destruction. This human being is going to shed blood on earth. Now the reason why I didn't translate directly the word yufsidu is because it is translated in different ways. The most common translation is mischief. Right, so they asked, oh Allah, why are you creating those who will create mischief on earth? But yufsidu can be translated as corruption, as immorality, mischief, but also rottenness, and to cause spoilage, right? To cause something to spoil and to rot. And if you look at it from that perspective, that's exactly what human beings are doing today to the earth. Right? That's what exactly we are doing to the earth. We're making it to rot and making it spoiled. So just as shedding blood is wrong, so the angels talked about fasad, yufsidu fil ard, fasad, mischief, corruption, rottenness to cause spoilage of the earth, and they also talked about shedding blood. So just as we know that shedding blood is wrong, no one's going to stand here and say it's okay to kill others, it's okay to spill the blood of others. In the same way, causing spoilage, causing mischief and rottenness on earth is also inappropriate and is also wrong. If you look at the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, we find extreme care not only for human beings. Now, we often talk about the Prophet ﷺ's character and dealing with other human beings and dealing with his wives and dealing with children and dealing with people who are non-Muslim and so on and so forth. But even the Prophet's extreme care, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for nature and its inhabitants. For example, when it came to water, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to use very little water when it came to making wudu or taking a bath. Very, very conservative in his use of water. And in fact, there's a hadith which may not be fully authentic, but in any case, in that hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is reportedly prohibited wastage of water in wudu. Even if a person is making wudu in a river. So even if there is abundance of water. So mashallah, we are fortunate to be living in Canada. A country like Canada that has an abundance of clean water. Yet, even then, that shouldn't give us a free pass to waste water. That should not give us a free pass to waste water. Back in the days, people would make wudu out of buckets, right? So if you're making wudu out of a bucket and you're just taking a little bit of water and pouring it over yourself, you save a lot more water. You spend much less water than you would in a tap. We have these automatic taps here at the masjid, which probably help in that regard. But that's one area to be very careful about. The Prophet ﷺ encouraged the planting of trees. So much so that the Prophet ﷺ said, if any of you have a date sapling on the doomsday, on the day of Qiyamah, and you know that it's the end of the world, or the end of the world is very near, if you have it in your hand, he should still try to plant it if possible. Right? You should still try to plant it if possible. Even though you know that the world is about to end, that the day of Qiyamah is there, you should still try to plant that tree if you have it in your hand. Jabir radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, never a Muslim plants a tree except that he has the reward of charity for him. For what is eaten out of that is charity. So obviously we're talking about a fruit tree here. So if there's a fruit in that plant, there is charity for what is eaten out of it is charity. But what if something is stolen? What if something's stolen? My parents have an apple tree in the front yard, and people normally, you know, pass by an apple, or they'll just pick one and take it. Not that we really mind. But what is stolen out of that, what the beasts eat out of that, so the animals will come around and take some as well, what the birds eat out of that, is charity for him also. So any benefit that is derived from that tree is a form of charity. None incurs a loss to him, but it becomes a charity on his part. So anything that is used from that tree, even if it's the shade for an animal, right, or some protection in a rainstorm, or anything else, it is all charity for that person. And there's also a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ prohibited the cutting of lotus trees unnecessarily. Now there might be a misconception that it's completely forbidden to cut down all trees at any time, like a blanket prohibition. That's not the case. It's not haram. So please don't email me and ask me, you know, I have a maple tree in my front yard, I need to cut it down, there's so many leaves, can I cut it down? That's okay, you can cut it down, inshallah. But the point is that we should not try to harm plants, animals, people unnecessarily. If there's a reason why the tree needs to be cut down, if there's a reason why the animal needs to be killed, then that's different. The Prophet ﷺ talks about kindness to animals. There's a reason why the Prophet ﷺ was called Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Right? There's a reason why the Prophet ﷺ was the mercy to the world. Right? Not just to human beings, not just to Muslims, but to the world and everything that it contains. Right? So the Prophet ﷺ talks about a prostitute who was forgiven by Allah. Why? Because passing by a panting dog near a well and seeing that the dog was about to die of thirst, she took off her shoe and tying it with her head cover, she drew out some water for it, so Allah forgave her because of that. This is reported by Imam Bukhari. So just a simple act. Now who would think of a dog? Like, you know, if you go to many Muslim countries, now here, you know, mashallah, dogs are treated very well. Maybe a little too well, right? But if you go back to the Muslim countries, right? You see dogs just panting around and kids just, you know, beating them up with shoes and sticks and just making toys out of them, and the poor dog's like, right? And it's still like, you know, chasing him around. This is not the teachings. This is not the teaching of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about giving water to even a dog, and this woman was forgiven because of that. On the other hand, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about a woman who was tortured and was put in hell because of a cat which she had kept locked till it died of hunger. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam further said that Allah knows better, but Allah said to the woman, "You neither fed it nor watered when you locked it up, nor did you set it free to eat the insects of the earth." So simply by torturing a cat, by not allowing it to roam free so that it could get food for itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would punish this woman. A companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about when they were on a journey with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said he left, the Prophet left us for a while. So during his absence, we saw a bird with its two young chicks, and we took the young ones. And the mother bird, of course the mother bird gets very concerned, like all mothers, when its children are in danger, children are taken away. So the mother bird was circling above us in the air, beating its wings in grief. When the Prophet ﷺ came back and said, "Who has hurt the feelings of this bird by taking its young?" Returned them to her. So for all of those who talk about, you know, the Prophet ﷺ teaching violence and hurting others, here we're talking about the feelings of a bird. The Prophet ﷺ was concerned about the feelings of a bird, that the bird is concerned and worried because its children have been taken away, and he instructed them to return the children, the chicks, to its mother. Now, as I mentioned earlier, of course, killing animals is allowed if there's harm, if there's fear of harm, or if there is some benefit from them, some need. But that too should be done properly. That should be done properly. And for example, you know, when we're sacrificing an animal, the etiquettes of doing it properly is to ensure that the animal, that other animals can't see that one being sacrificed. That other animals can't see the other one being sacrificed. And the Prophet ﷺ has also said that if you're going to kill an animal, do it properly, meaning do it swiftly, do it quickly, so it doesn't suffer much pain or any pain. Now when you look around, and we hear about global warming, and we, you know, about the oil spills and the earthquakes and all of these natural disasters and issues facing nature, this verse comes to mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Bahara al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydi an-nas." That plight, and again I'm going to translate the word fasad. So fasad has appeared on land and sea because of what the hands of the people have earned. Fasad, so again, corruption, mischief, right, rottenness, has appeared on land and sea because of what the hands of the people have earned. And it's through these hands, right, it is through these hands, and we are all responsible in some way, right, because we drive the economy, right, we create the demand for the products, and then they're made and they're sold to us, right. That's a long discussion, let's not go there. But in any case, we are all in one way or the other responsible for what we are seeing today. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I'll end with this, said that there should neither be harming nor reciprocating harm. This is a general hadith. This is a general hadith, not specific about the environment, but generally the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there should be neither harming nor reciprocating harm. And if we take it to apply to nature, to the environment, it also applies there as well. That we should not be engaged in any action that harms others, other human beings, other animals, plants, nature. And this is not something that is part of our teachings. We should ensure that we are working to protect nature, that we are working to protect the universe from harm. And let's try to appreciate nature to reinforce faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you go on a vacation somewhere, somewhere that's known for, you know, buildings and worldly pleasures and so on, you can still turn that vacation into a faith-reinforcing exercise. You can do that. You know, I travel from time to time, and regardless of where you are, you can always find, if you're thinking the right way, you can always find things that remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that reinforce your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, to wrap up, here are some ideas. So, it's springtime, you know, the nurseries are open for plants. So, it's a great time to get a plant tree, to plant a tree, maybe a fruit tree. They're not really expensive. Start a garden, maybe, for all of you with children. You know, get them involved. Show them where potatoes come out of, right? Potatoes don't just come in potato chip bags, right? They actually grow in the ground. You know, get involved in things like that. Maybe plant an apple tree, and it will be a rewarding experience, inshallah. Travel differently to appreciate nature. I realize this because we used to live in the suburbs, and I would always take my car or the train. And I realized that when I started walking or started biking, there was much more to learn and to appreciate. So all these things that I wouldn't even notice, that I wouldn't realize were actually there, I started noticing when I started walking, when I started biking. You know, so walk, bike, take the train maybe, explore the countryside, like I said. And when it comes to our doing our part for the environment, reduce, reuse, recycle. Those are easy words to remember, but let's try to put them in action. Right? So if you have a recycle bin, let's try to use it. If you have a few of them, let's try to use them all. Reduce our consumption. Right? When it comes to water, gasoline, all of these things, it all adds up. Right? How many people do we have here today? Right, probably have 200, 250 people. Right? If everyone starts doing their part, every single day, we can make a difference. Right? We can make a difference. And this is only us in this building. So many other people. If we spread the message and actually start caring about things, it could really make a difference. And not because we want to, but because it is our responsibility from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help me, help all of us in appreciating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beauty in the nature and his signs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us protect the amana, the trust that he has given us, and may he protect us all. I just wanted to mention that Sayyid Rahman's father passed away in Bangladesh. So request that remember him in our du'as. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him, grants him mercy, gives him a high station in paradise, and eases the grave for him.